Minibar or Numbers or Into the Wilderness. You know, as Jen said during the Haftorah portion, you know, in Hebrew, it's in the wilderness. In the English, it's Numbers. And it starts off with all of this counting of Israel. You know, it just seems like in America, probably most of the world these days, based on computers, it can make us feel like we're nothing but numbers. We're identified by our social security number. You call someone, and before they even ask for your last name, they want to know the last four of your social security number so they can look it up. You call your doctor, and before they even want your name, they want the numbers from your date of birth so they can find you. You call the insurance company, and they want your policy number. Never mind your name. They'll see it later. It sounds like we're nothing but numbers. And here we are, starting a new book. And again, it sounds like the Israelites were nothing but numbers. But we're really seeing in today's portion, it may appear that Adonai is just numbering people. But that's not really the case. That's not really what he's doing. You know, it was mentioned during the Drash that there are actually three different counts that Moses was told to take. So let's look up. Well, the first one was for the for all the men of fighting age. The second one was the Levites. And the third one was all of the... I went out of order on my sheet here, and now I'm lost. All of the ones under age, the firstborn, excuse me, well, the firstborn. How did I forget that? So let's take a look in the first chapter, in the first verse of Numbers. In the wilderness of Sinai, on the first day of the second month, in the second year from the Exodus, from the land of Egypt, Adonai spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting, saying, do a head count of all the community of Bnei Israel by the families and their ancestral house, with a total of every male one by one. You and Aaron are to muster by the divisions every son from 20 years and upward available to serve in the army of Adonai. So here we have the start of the instructions, not even the full instructions, the start of the instructions on how to start counting the people, the first count. It appears that Adonai is looking just for a number, but look a few verses later what it says. Numbers 1:18, it continues the instructions for it. They assembled all the community on the first day of the second month. They declared their lineage according to their families, the households of their forefathers, with the numbers of the names of those 20 years old and upward being listed individually. The people were counted, but not as a mass count, uncaring who they were or what their history was, what family they were from. But they were accounted by their families. And they were counted by name. They didn't just count out numbers. They counted the names of each one of them. Each number that was reported to Adonai was representative of names of people. Because they were names to be counted, each one meant something special to Adonai. The count was not to dehumanize them, but to draw attention to each one of them as individuals. It's as if I was looking out into the sanctuary today, and I wanted to know how many people are here. Well, I could do a count, 1, 2, 3, 4, and just go right around the sanctuary and count. Or what I would probably more likely do is I would look up, and I would look to see who is here. Oh, look. There's Dave and Deb. Oh, look, there's Nathan. Look, there's Rebus and Eileen. And I would know who's here. I'd also know who's missing. That's the difference. It's a personalization as opposed to just a count. A number tells you just a number. In this case, they were counting the Israelites as individuals because each name was represented. And the Lord knows each one of us. But it's true that not all the people were counted. At least it appeared to be. It does not include the women, like Moses' sister Miriam. The men outside of fighting age were not counted. And most of the children weren't counted. Also, those from the nations who came out of Israel with the Israelites, all the Gentiles who came out with them, they were not counted, or so it appears. But they were included as part of the community, and they were to be extended all the rights of the community, with the exception of working within the tabernacle and land. But they were protected. They were treated the same as the Israelites in every other way. I believe this count that Moses did was not a count of just how many, but also who was there. Perhaps each person was not counted, but their family from Israel was represented by the count. Each was a name. It was not that they were impersonal to Adonai, but they were very personal to Adonai. This could have been the difference between why when David did a count when he was king, why it wasn't honored by Adonai, why it was wrong in Adonai's eyes. Remember, David wanted a count, so he told his officers to number the people of Israel. It was different than the count that Adonai had done. 1 Chronicles 21 said this, "So David told Joab and the leaders of the people, go count Israel from Beersheba to Dan. Then bring me a report so I may know the number." David wanted to see how many were there, not who was there. He didn't separate the people even to, count this family, count this family, count this family. Who's in this land? Who's in this land? He just said, from here to there, count them all. Just give me a number at the end. It's not the way Adonai would want to count. He didn't want to count then, and he didn't want it that way. That's why David didn't honor Adonai in that count, and why there were consequences when he made that count. Adonai loves and cares about each and every one that he created. Regardless whether they believe that they were created by him, regardless if they believe they're loved by him, they are, and they were. There are many verses that indicates Adonai's care and love on each and every one of his people. But there are times that people don't believe that Adonai has his eyes and affections on them. I got to say, it was for me, and I think it's for almost every believer, there's a time that you slip and fall and feel like, Adonai, where are you? I'm not in your sight anymore. What's going on? I've lost. Where are you? But Adonai is there to pick them up, clean them off, put them back on the path. They just have to turn back. One reason to read and then reread scripture is so that the word is stored up within us. When we're feeling weak and alone, it is during these times that when we can call out to Adonai. When we think he's not nearby, we can call out. And it's not reminding Adonai, hey, Adonai, where are you? You're supposed to be close to me through it all. When we cry out, he doesn't need to hear the cry. We need to hear the cry. Adonai, where are you? I need to hear that Adonai is near. I need Adonai. I want him to be here with me. It's not reminding him, it's reminding us. The prophet Jeremiah went through such a time when Jerusalem was taken by the enemy of Israel. In Lamentations 3:21, it says this: "This I recall to my heart. Therefore I have hope. Because of the mercies of Adonai, we will not be consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Adonai is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him." Now, Jeremiah said this after the destruction of Jerusalem around 586 BCE. It felt like Adonai turned his back on his people. But Jeremiah knew that Adonai was not eternally turning his back. It says, "This I will recall to my heart." He was reminding himself, as well as those who are reading it and hearing it, that Adonai did not leave or depart them forever. It's the same with us today. It's the same God, same love. The same purpose for his people, salvation. Jerusalem, for the sins of the people, were destroyed. But the people were not. And the hope of salvation from Adonai was not removed from them. Even if they felt that Adonai abandoned them, he did not. And Jeremiah, even in his lament and his brokenheartedness of the situation, still included that seed of hope for a future of Israel and the people in his lament. Now, there's another example of Adonai's eternal love and care, and it's found in Psalm 86 from David. So I say it's 86:1-2, and then I'm going to skip down to 14 and 17. Now, you remember in the Hebrew scriptures, they include as verse 1, the prayer from David. So the numbers, when you skip down, may not be exactly the same, but you'll find it. So 86, starting 1 and 2, and then dropping to 14, a prayer of David: "Turn your ear, Adonai, and answer me, for I am weak and needy. Watch over my soul, for I am godly. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. God, the proud have risen up against me, and a gang of ruthless people have sought my life, and I have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, full of love and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Make me a sign for good, so that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed. For you, Adonai, have helped me and comforted me." Amen. David's on the run from those who want to, you know, it says do harm. They wanted to kill him. It was more than just a little harm. And he says he's weak and needy. But even through this weakness and need, he knows to turn to Adonai, and that Adonai will help him. And look what David says about what will happen when Adonai helps him. It says, "Those who hate him will see the salvation of Adonai from that situation, and will be ashamed because of those that hate him will see that it truly is Adonai that helped him and took care of him through that situation. And that in this test, there will be some who were lost, who never turned to Adonai before, but will now turn to Adonai, because they'll see and they're going to be ashamed of the way they were. Adonai is turning this test into a testimony. The time that you go through troubles is not just a test for you, but it gives you a testimony of his goodness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness, so that others would see it and believe that he alone is the only true God. And as we go through the times of trouble, regardless how long they last, we are to turn to Adonai, because he will never forget us. The time may seem to last for a lifetime, but to Adonai, our current lifetime here on earth is like but a moment to him. And I believe that when we stand before him for all eternity, it'll seem like a moment to us too. It was just a season. Could you imagine your life is just a season? Because there's a whole eternity in front of it. And during this lifetime, we have to know Adonai will never turn away permanently. His promise is found in Isaiah 54 and other places. Excuse me. Isaiah 54, starting in verse 7. For a brief moment, I deserted you, but I will regather you with great compassion. In a surge of anger, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I swore that the waters of Noah should no more cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. Though the mountains depart and the hills be shaken, my love will not depart from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says Adonai, who has compassion on you. It could feel like you were deserted by Adonai for a long period of time. It can feel that way. It can feel like a whole lifetime. But his promises that with great compassion, he will bring you back into his love. The things that we go through now are like the floodwaters of Noah. But when we are eternally redeemed, he will no longer be angry. His love and his compassion will be on us forever. That's his promise. It's not an interpretation of a promise that can be taken wrongly. It is his promise that if we run the race right to the end, even if that trial follows us right to the end, his love and compassion, his great promise of the love and compassion, his never-ending, his never-failing promise of love and compassion will see us through for all eternity. The promise is true and eternal towards us. We have a part to play in it. For this story to come to its the result that we want, that will be in his presence, we have a part to play in that story. Galatians 6, starting in verse 8. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the Ruach, in the Spirit, will reap from the Ruach, eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up. That's an important ending to that piece of scripture. If we sow the words of salvation, even during our personal trials that we're going through, then we will reap the same. Not just salvation for ourselves because of our faith in Messiah Yeshua and the blood, but also salvation for others when they see and they believe in Adonai and the blood of Yeshua as their source of salvation. But if we're reaping bad seed from our flesh, then we can be assured that we will see, as Shaul wrote, that we will reap corruption. Reaping bad seed means more and increasing trials. Reaping bad seed means a separation from Adonai for all eternity. It's being in a place because you're separated from him. Being in a place for all eternity. Because everyone has an eternity. It's just, where are you spending that eternity? Before him. Separated from him. What's that place that's separated from him like? It's a place of a burning fire that never ends. It's a place where the worm eats the flesh constantly. A place where there's gnashing of teeth because of the pain and the agony that they go through. It's not a place we want to be in. It's not a place we want to see people in. We're warned of it. We're told of it. And we're told how to avoid it, ourselves and for others. That's the mercy of God. People say, how can there be a hell? How can a God who's merciful make a hell? He's merciful because he's very clear about how to avoid it, how to get away from it. It's the blood of Messiah Yeshua. It's always been the blood. It's always been the blood. And now it's the blood of Messiah Yeshua. So regardless of where you are in your walk with Adonai, or for those not walking with Adonai through Yeshua yet, he is the one who cares. Regardless of if you were the ones numbered as a fighter, or if you're the one who was not counted directly, a Gentile going with Israel through the desert. Adonai knows you. Adonai's counted you. Adonai loves you. Amen. He wants you to be with him. You know, it's never that Adonai's love is missing. It's always that you are missing his love. It's always there. He's always there. The life we live now is for a lifetime. But not a lifetime that's eternally. He cares about us not now and the trials that we go through. But his major concern is for you through eternity. His love is forever, so the things that we go through now will not be a big deal when we stand before him in heaven. Fight the fight now. Do it as you would have to fight it. Do it the way he wants you to fight it. By the Ruach and not earthly weapons. You have been counted by Adonai. You are loved by Adonai. Regardless of whether you're a believer already or not. You are loved. You have been counted and there is salvation for you. Regardless of how far you think you are from Adonai, His love is still there. And all you need do is turn to Him. Accept Him. Accept Yeshua as your Messiah. That story changes in the blink of an eye. And yeah, you know, it doesn't mean that everything's wonderful all of a sudden. But your spirit will be cleaned off and your life will start to change. I've heard stories where people say, you know, as soon as I accepted Messiah, my life changed like that. Yeah, there are some like that. But I'm going to tell you, for most of us, it's a process. It's two steps forward and a step backward sometimes. But that's okay. He'll step back with you. He doesn't leave you when you make that step backwards. You don't get too far away from Him that His arm can't reach out. His hand will never be too weak to clean you off and pick you up out of where you are. Accept His love and atonement that He has for you by the sacrifice of the blood of Messiah Yeshua. It's never too late to accept. As long as you're breathing in this world, it's never too late. As long as your heart is beating, it's not too late. When does it become too late? When you stop breathing and your heart stops beating, then it's too late. You have to make the decision on this side of eternity. Now, there is no better time than right now to accept Messiah Yeshua. Right now, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know if you have the next hour, never mind tomorrow. You don't know. Now is the time to accept. Now is the time to say a prayer of acceptance. If you've never prayed to accept Messiah Yeshua, I invite you to follow along with me. Father, I thank You. I thank You that even when I was dirty, even though I'm dirty now, You will accept me. I thank You that You sent salvation for me through Messiah Yeshua and by His blood. Forgive me, Father, for the sins that I've done in the past. And help me, Ruach, help me, Spirit, to walk with You for all eternity. I thank You for Your salvation that You give me, Messiah Yeshua. And I thank You, Adonai, Lord, King, God of my life now. I turn from the world and I praise You and You only. And I do that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hey guys, if you're at home and this is the first time you've prayed that or anything like it, you know, these are not magic words, but it's a heart attitude. So if your heart has changed, give me a call, drop me an email, or go to someone you know who has the Messiah as their salvation and share with them your new life and let them pray with you. And then pick up a copy of Scripture, a copy of the Bible, and just start reading it, learning about who He is, and look for a place to attend. Look for a church, look for a congregation, look for a messianic congregation, somewhere that is teaching Messiah Yeshua, amen, Jesus, whatever you want to call Him, as the Savior of all the earth. Your life will be changed. So, Father, we thank You that You change lives. We thank You that the opportunity is there right to the very last breath. We thank You that You've given us Your word. You had given us Your Son. You had given us Your hope. And it never, ever fails. So we'll praise you to our very last breath and our last heartbeat. And we'll praise Adonai, Yeshua, and the Ruach. And we thank you for it all. We thank you in Yeshua's name. And everyone says, amen and amen.